Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week, the message is titled, In Times of War. Thank you to Rhonda, Paul, Chris, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is James 1, 1-8.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ. We're going to start with some announcements, please. Great Lakes is looking for people to keep students during March break, and contact Dwayne Williams if you would be willing to do that. That would be wonderful. And happy birthday to Kate. Prayers for the family of the Val's son, Andy, his wife, Tammy, their children, Britton and Max, and their little boy, Zach. Andy, Tammy, Britton, and Zach are now in Hungary. Max is still in the Ukraine because he's a Ukrainian citizen and he's between 20 and 60 years old. Okay, I'd like to read from the book of Job, please. The Lord asked, "There's no one on earth as faithful and as good as Job. He worships me and is careful not to do anything evil." Satan replied, "Would Job worship you if he got nothing out of it? You have always protected him and his family and everything he owns. You bless everything he does, and you've given him enough cattle to fill the whole country. But now suppose you take away everything he has. He will curse you to your face." In other words, Satan's saying that Job's faith is circumstantial. "All right," the Lord said to Satan, "everything he has is in your power, but you must not hurt Job himself." So Satan left. One day when Job's children were having a feast at the home of their oldest brother, a messenger came running to Job. "We were plowing the fields with the oxen," he said, "and the donkeys were in a nearby pasture. Suddenly, the Sabaeans attacked and stole them all. They killed every one of your servants except me. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Lightning struck the sheep and the shepherds and killed them all. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he had finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Three bands of Chaldeans, raiders, attacked us, took away the camels, and killed all your servants except me. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Before he'd finished speaking, another servant came and said, "Your children were having a feast at the home of your oldest son when a storm swept in from the desert. It blew the house down and killed them all. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." Then Job got up and tore his clothes in grief. He shaved his head and threw himself face downward onto the ground. He said, "I was born with nothing and I will die with nothing. The Lord gave and now he has taken away. May his name be praised." In spite of everything that had happened, Job did not sin by blaming God. And based on that, I'd like to pray. Dear God in heaven, we pray for Christians in our midst and all over the world, and especially in the Ukraine. Who are hurting right now. God, please fill all your people with faith. Give us the strength to trust in and rely on and cling to you. May we grow in our love for you no matter what our circumstances. May we love you with all our souls, with all our minds and strength. May we love our neighbors as ourselves. God, give us a spirit of love and forgiveness for our enemies. No matter what our circumstances, may we be like Job and say, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May his name be praised." In Jesus' name, amen. And now I would like to read from James 1, 1-8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'm sorry. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do.
Good morning. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, I invite you, if you don't have your little cup, economy combo cup, at the back, there are on the table there. What is truth? Whether it is Pilate asking Jesus, or in our time, the constant claims of false news, alternate facts, or more subtle forces that society push truth-questioning narratives into our brains, this question continues to be one of the most important for us as humans. Who here listens to BBC Radio? Now, what about BBC Radio 4's More or Less, a show about statistical analysis and fact-checking? Okay, well, I'm sure that a majority of you are just shy and expressing your no doubt love of this half-hour, weekly, British, extremely nerdy program, and thus I don't need to necessarily give you a brief summary. I'll do it anyways. The host, Tim Harford, a statistician, takes claims made by politicians, news people, and even companies in the form of numbers and finds out if they're true. He often gets experts on of whatever field they're talking about. They look at the best peer-reviewed studies, etc. For example, there was a claim made by a mascara company that their product increased the user's eyelashes 23 times by volume. Well, Tim Harford asked the question, what would the average person's eyelashes look like if that were true? A giant unibrow that was over an inch longer. The claim is untrue, and if it were true, no one would buy it. So imagine what happened when the host of a fact-checking program, author of the book, How to Make the World Add Up, wrote an article in the Financial Times on September 2nd, 2020, that made the false claim that the daily chances of having serious health problems from COVID is about the same a risk of having serious health problems from taking a bath. This interesting fact, from an expert in statistics, was picked up and reprinted in every major UK paper, repeated on every news station. And for the record, as he explained when he saw his error, here was his mistake. For someone in their early 60s, in England during the fall of 2020, the daily risk of serious health problems from COVID was about 1 in 2 million. The risk of serious health problems from taking a bath is about 1 in 2 million, about the same, except the bath figure is annually, not daily. Baths are actually far safer. An appropriate quote from that author of a statistician author book, Tim Harford. Claims that go viral because they are surprising or interesting are often surprising or interesting because they are untrue. So even an expert of truth and numbers gets the numbers wrong on occasion. That leaves us back with Pilate. What is truth? Pilate asks the question in response to Jesus' statement in John 18:37. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." The chief priests had brought Jesus to Pilate to execute him because they did not have the legal authority to execute anyone. Yet Pilate seemed smart enough to pick up on the fact that Jesus was not guilty of the things they were accusing him of. Pilate's fear of an uprising keeps him from acting on his instinct, and he does order Jesus executed. Jesus' statement to Pilate is that he has come to the world to testify to the truth. Earlier in John, Jesus says that he is the truth. Jesus then goes on after this meeting with Pilate to demonstrate he both can testify to the truth by sacrificing himself for us, and that he is the truth by being raised from the dead. What is truth? The truth, the important truth, the capital T truth, is that Jesus came into this world from God, was sacrificed for us, and conquered sin and death so that we have the choice to be saved from our sins, rejoined with the family of God, and to be citizens of God's kingdom, both today and forever. We do many things around the Lord's table each week. Two of the most important is to remember the truth, that is Jesus, and to proclaim that truth until he comes. I understand that we live in a world that has many half-truths or just completely false truths swirling around us. It may be tempting to throw our hands up in the air and exclaim, "What is truth?" like Pilate did, and then go on our way, choosing the least difficult path like Pilate did. I encourage us to take these representations of Jesus' sacrifice and join with him and his disciples in that final meal together and focus on what is really true. Anchor ourselves here at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus sacrificed and being raised, and then choose our path based on that truth. How can I act out in the love of Christ today? How can I speak the love of Christ today? Who can I help in the name of Christ today? Who can I listen to with Christ's patience today? Who can I defend, provide Christ's strength to today? Who can I partner with in Christ's mission today? These are usually not the most convenient paths of least resistance, but we can remind ourselves today that God's love for us as demonstrated in Jesus on the cross, and also God's power as delivered to us as demonstrated by Jesus' resurrection. What is truth? Jesus. Join with me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this time to be together. Lord, we spend some time now remembering your Son on the cross. We remember the sacrifice that was made. We remember the resurrection. We remember the power that was delivered through him. Lord, help us to remember well. Help us to live well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I want to do something a little different today. Instead of preaching a sermon, this is going to be more of a prayer. And for those of us who were here this past week for our prayer evening, I was so grateful to be part of it in the sense of hearing some prayers that were just incredibly strong, very, 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 very overwhelmingly soul connecting, and just believe with all of our heart that God heard those prayers. So God is with us, as we know, and I hope that today these words will be helpful. We're all very concerned about what's happening in Ukraine, especially so, as was mentioned today, with Andy and Tammy Fleming and others that we know in that area. Those people have been ministering in Ukraine and Russia for many, many years. And we have been and continue to pray for their safety. Many have left Ukraine with nothing other than the clothes on their back. And so hear these words from the Psalms. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you, and I wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And then Deuteronomy, these words, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him, for he shields us all day long, and the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. The last seven words in the book of Joshua, chapter 11, are these words. Then the land had rest from war. And that's what we're praying for, that the land will have rest from war. The Apostle John gives us a picture, a future look of no more war. And it's not just symbolic. One day there will be no more war. Now the dwelling of God is with people, and God will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more war. And it's always our prayer that those who create war and destruction will realize just how horrible it is to do so. The Apostle Paul, who reminded us that we should live our lives with love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, that he himself was once a violent man. He was a persecutor, going from house to house, dragging off men and women and putting them into prison. A lot of what we see on the news today in Ukraine. But Jesus changed Paul's life, and Paul said to the church at Rome to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And we pray earnestly that peace will come to all in Ukraine, and that one day we will see no more war. The Lord's grace came to Paul as God's grace comes to us. And Paul said these words, I'm sure with deep and sincere emotion, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Do you remember when you were a child attending Sunday school that we used to sing, I'm in the Lord's army? But it was an army of peace. It's an army of love. So Paul wrote to Timothy, and he didn't hold anything back. He says, I thank Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was a blasphemer, and I was a persecutor, and I was a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord is poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And then he says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance for all of us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And I suppose there are times in our life where we would say, Paul, I think you came second there. And I think I've made some more blunders than you have. But no, he's just making it clear that we're all part of this. And Christ came into the world to save me, he says, even though I'm of the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. There are people right now who have no belief in God, but someday they will. And they will be powerful people. And their message will be extremely powerful by being a witness saying, here's how I used to live, but here's how Christ changed my life. And many of us who are here today would say, yeah, we understand that very, very well. So that even though we are the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. When you read Paul's writings, he's writing at length. And every once in a while, he just has to stop and give a little praise. He just has to stop and give some praise. This past Wednesday night when we gathered and prayed, or was it Thursday night? I can't remember what night it was, but we all gathered together in praise. The prayers were so moving that I don't know about anybody else, but I would go home and I just couldn't sleep. I just replayed those prayers in my heart, in my mind, that there are millions of people who are praying. And man, we really did hear some powerful prayers that evening. All over the world, people are praying for Ukraine, for a resolution, for the horrific violence to end, where the innocents will no longer be destroyed. In times of crisis and war, Psalm 23 remains a comfort. Many soldiers, when they went to war, carried cards with them. They knew how to recite the Lord's Prayer, and they kept Psalm 23 in their pockets. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, people are doing that in Ukraine today, I will fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then we have the Lord's Prayer that we know very, very well. And I would encourage you, if it's convenient, if you would just stand and let's recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That joining together one day of that complete and total peace, a new heaven and a new earth coming together as one. We pray that the King of Glory will come into people's heart and mind and change their mind from war to peace, from violence to brotherhood, from fear to calm, and that love prevails, sustains, and endures. And as the Lord showers us with love and comfort, may we do the same to those in distress and anguish. There is nothing comfortable about war. So we can pray for comfort for those who suffer because of war. To people in the first century who are being persecuted for their faith, suffering and conflict, the Apostle Paul prays for them, wants them to know that they're not alone, even when they feel alone. It's wonderful to know that people are earnestly praying for us. And if that's true, and it is, can't we earnestly pray for others? For comfort. Paul is a person who taught by repetition. And I'm glad of that because I need to hear it over and over and over again. One of the tongue twisters and yet profound scripture in all the Bible was written by this anti-Christ for the longest time, who becomes the great warrior of Christ Jesus. Paul says these words: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. He weeps with us when we weep. And he laughs with us when we laugh." Fathers and mothers do that, don't they? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of compassion. One day, I picture this in my mind, one day, not only are we going to see God and hear God, but he's going to hug us, and we're not going to let go. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives and the sufferings of Christians in Ukraine, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which provides in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we have suffered. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. In other words, it's like waiting for that fever to break. And that's what the majority of the world is waiting for. The sounds of war will be silent, and that peace, calm, and comfort will come to all. To take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, to pray, and when you finish praying, to pray, and when you finish praying, to pray. As Bob Dylan said, keep knocking on heaven's door. We look forward to the day where there will be no more war. No more war at any time, no more war at any place. Long before Jesus was born into the world, although Jesus was always with the Father, Isaiah caught a glimpse of the last days. Picture this in your mind as Isaiah writes this to us. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples, as is so needed today. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Can we pray for this? Won't it be wonderful when war will never exist again? As Christians, we want to promote peace. The writer of Proverbs says, "There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace." Jesus told his followers that they would hear of wars and rumors of wars, and they will happen. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But we who stand firm to the end will be saved. Never let your faith get even slightly chilly. Never. Never. And if you feel that way, pray. Pray. God's comfort will come. Be peacemakers, not warmongers. So we pray for peace. We want to live in peace. We want to promote peace. We want to be living examples of peace and to teach our children by showing them how to live in peace. James reminds us that wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And then he said, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. I thought that'd be a cool name on a church. I thought that would be a real cool name on a church. There it is, peacemakers. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Living by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you have that urge of just saying something, don't say it. Don't say it. Give it to him. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. So in John 16, verse 22, it says, there will come a day when grief will no longer exist. Jesus reminded his disciples and us, now is your time of grief, and there's grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Who knows? When Christ comes again to create a new heaven and earth, maybe you will be going through such horrific difficulties, but it'll instantly when you see him coming for you as you are part of him. In the midst of great trials, God's peace can be experienced. The peace of God, which transcends, Paul says, all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then the psalmist said this in Psalm 46, come and see the works of the Lord. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. Psalm 46. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And if you wandered away from God just a little bit, all you have to do is start talking to him. He will surround you with his presence and with his love. John Wesley wrote these familiar words. I think most of us have heard this before. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Jesus had brothers and sisters. James was a brother of Jesus. And he talks about life not being easy and that trials come to all, sometimes severe trials, overwhelming trials. And yet those trials, even though horrible, can strengthen our faith. The more trials we have in life and survive them, we're not so overwhelmed when they happen again. Always remember the words of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble, but I've overcome your world. So James writes, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. In other words, we can get through this. It may not feel that way. It may not seem like that way at the time, but we can get through this because it must finish its work so that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Because if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Dear Lord, give us wisdom and love. Or maybe this way. Dear Lord, give us your wisdom. Give us your love. May that flow into our lives. The comforting words of Jesus remain resolute. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, which means teaching. Take my teaching upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Just a couple of closing comments. In the midst of difficulties and suffering, the Hebrew writer, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, reminds us to make every effort to live in peace with all people and to be holy and to remember how God sees us right now, even with him. That even though we aren't there just yet, God sees us with him. So hear the words. But you have come. See, God already is putting it in our minds. See it right now. You have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. Someone said, no, I'm not there yet. I see you here, God says. I see you here. Don't doubt it. I see you here. And if I see you here, can't you see you here? You have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, and maybe before we even see God's face, the angels are going to be introducing us to so many people and be with those whom we've lost, but we'll see again. You are not an accident that brought you into this life. God knew the exact time and places that you would live. As his promise is an eternal promise, God so loved the world, you and me, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember this story being told years ago, and it just stayed with me. Many of us remember reading stories to our children before they would go to sleep at night. And there was a story told about a mother who was getting very, very busy in her life, and the child always loved, just before going to sleep, mother would come in, read a story, hug her, kiss her, and then she'd go off into a blissful sleep. But mom was getting busier and busier and busier. And one night when mom came into the room to read the story, she didn't bring a book. She brought a tape recorder. And she said, now on this tape recorder, there are 6 buttons. On each button, I have a story for you that you could just read. You can read it anytime you want. Isn't that wonderful? I've got 6 stories on here. And then when those 6 stories are done, I'll put 6 more stories on it. You just push the button and you can hear the stories. And the little girl said, no, No, I won't listen to them. The mother said, honey, why? And the young child said, because, mommy, the tape recorder doesn't have a lap to sit on. Yeah. See, that's how we can see God. Arms around him in difficult times. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We pray for those in conflict. We pray for peace to come into the world. And we look forward to the day there will be no more war, no more death, and we'll be together again. Amen.
I wanted to share a little bit of a good news story about the Ukraine. In my close circle of friends, I'll call him Bulldog, but his name is Konstantin. And he lives, came to Canada in 2001. He's been a close friend of mine since. But in Bukovina, which is one time half Ukraine and half Romania. So he's just outside. And now he's organizing himself and people to go to the border and pick up families and give them, first of all, they needed the essentials, feminine hygiene products, and some food and a little bit of money to put into their pockets. So he's basically, his shelves are empty now because he gave everything from his house. But he's fortunate because he's an engineer by trade, but he has 6 bedrooms and 6 bathrooms. So he's offering that to families that are hurting. But he said he has also families that come in that he picks up because you don't know their plight until they're in your car, that want to go to the airport. So he charges the people that have the money that's going to the airport to get out and giving it to that. So we've been very fortunate financially, so we're supporting him and making sure that he's gathering a group of people that will be paying for their gas and for giving clothes and other things so that they can bring some level of comfort to the families that are there. So really just asking for your prayers for Bulldog. Please put Bulldog into your prayers and the people that he'll be bringing to help, and just pray for their safety. And hoping that part of the world also isn't engulfed in war. And we thank you for your prayer.
Praise God.
Let us pray. God, as they face a new week, we pray for the leaders of the world and all the people in a position of power. God, please give them the wisdom, the humility, the strength, and the courage to do what is right in your sight. May they make decisions that will strengthen their own and the people of the world's faith in you. May their decisions be rooted in love for you and for others. God, fill all the Christians in the world with humility and love as they serve you this week, and especially Chris's friend. May we be a people who read and meditate on your word and are one with you. May we rest in the knowledge that we are not in control, but you are. God, especially bless those who are hurting physically and emotionally this week. Please give them strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version, second edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society, used by permission. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.